The Pulse, WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God, and I am your host, John Fowler, along with Pastor Jay Mace, who is in the house. I'm going to click his camera on because I don't have a clue. I bumped it yesterday.
Okay.
So, hey, you look good. There you are.
Yeah.
You do look good. That picture behind us is on Route 4.
Take it off me because I'm still sharing it. Oh, okay.
It's on Route 4 in Gassaway. And I drive by this, and I've driven by this scene for years, and I thought, I have got to take a picture of this scene.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And so the other day I was there, and I stopped in the middle of the road, Route 4, and there wasn't anybody there, you know, and went over and took two or three pictures of that. And I absolutely just love that picture. It's pretty, and I'll take a picture in the summertime. I'll take a picture in the spring, and it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous picture.
Looks like a nice place to take a fishing nap.
Kind of does, doesn't it?
You know what a fishing nap is, right?
Is that like nap car when NASCAR's on and you fall asleep?
Kind of, yeah. It's like when you throw your rod in the water, your line in the water.
Right.
And you pray to God you don't catch anything.
Yeah.
So you can just sit there and
sleep.
Enjoy the peace.
I used to do that when I went hunting out Heiser Creek.
Okay.
Because I never got anything while I was out there. Christy said, you know, I didn't start shooting deer until I got to Gassaway in Sam Wayne's house. And but
they got lots of deer out there.
Oh yeah, but I would go out there and to Heiser Creek where both you and I used to pasture, and you just sit there and sleep because nothing. And then if you wanted something, you know, to drink, you'd go off the hill to their house and get coffee. It's just a social club.
Yeah, you know where Luke hunts?
Where?
And he's super successful at it.
Where? At?
He and Courtney shot at the same time and killed two doe last year.
Really?
Shot at the same time and killed two doe this year and got a buck on my back deck.
Really?
Just sit on my back deck.
Well, there's no reason
and they
to.
They just come walking across about 4:30 every day. And
well, there's no reason to go buy expensive stuff and all that and go out when you can go to your house.
Yep. It's super easy and super cheap. And
now, one thing about
back the truck, you know, and he drops them right there. Now, they had one run this year, but a little bit, and they had to drag it up the hill. But, usually drops them right there, so I can just back the truck right up to it, and they gut it and everything, and we put all that in a garbage bag because, you know, we have dogs, and we don't want them getting into all of that.
All right.
That. And then we just throw them up on the truck and drive them to the butcher.
Take them and go.
Yep.
Well, I tell you, that's a neat thing. I've got three on the wall now.
Okay.
And David Quinn, he attends our Gassaway campus. He does that for a living. Well,
oh, cool.
I mean, that's just a side hustle.
Yeah.
But so where our treadmill is, one of them is just like right up above. So Lindsay's on the treadmill the other day, and she's looking up, and she takes a picture of it and puts it on Facebook. She says, "This is one of Dad's deer, and it's so close to my where I'm." She says, "Freaking me out." Oh, that was funny though. But so I was in Winston-Salem this week. What day was that? Wednesday. In a t-shirt.
Yep.
And there was no snow on the ground anywhere there. Now they had snow, you know, same time we did, but the snow was gone, and I went out and you know, out back where the fire pit is and all that back through there. I walked back through there because normally when we're there in the summertime, there's critters, you know. So I knew this time of year there wasn't. I walked that whole line back through there. Gorgeous. I mean, just absolutely beautiful back through there. And so there's some picnic tables back there, and I just sat back there, and the wind was blowing just a little bit, and I just sat back there with God, and it was just pretty awesome, you know, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Amy, good morning to you. Christy, good morning to you. Glad to have you tuned in.
Hey, where are you seeing that?
It's on my Facebook.
Oh, I'm on YouTube, so that I have the YouTube chat up.
I got you. Well, I finally, you know, when I had Becky on doing her interview with the book.
Right.
And the audio wasn't working, and I didn't see it. I didn't see the audio wasn't working, and you text me. Well, I used to lay my phone just here and did nothing with it. So now I'm live on my phone,
oh,
so
nice.
I can see what's going on.
Yeah.
See, I would have seen that, you know, if I had my phone up,
right.
But I didn't.
Right. Well, good morning, ladies.
Glad to have you tuned in. And we absolutely are talking about something today.
Yeah, I didn't preach last week. So
yeah, you didn't preach last week.
Luke did a really good job. I was really, really proud of him. He did a really good job. I mean, it's on YouTube, but our volume was off a little bit. We fought some sound stuff all service. It's fixed now, so we should be good this week. But it's out there, but you got to turn it way up because it was kind of low. But yeah, he did a really good job. And basically, they've been studying threads. Maybe this is what we're going to talk about. I don't know. They've been studying a curriculum, a year-long curriculum called Threads, that shows how the gospel was woven throughout the Bible. Right. You know, it wasn't just John, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That the gospel is actually woven, you know, throughout Scripture. And there's several things that symbolize the gospel, several things that prophesy the gospel, and everything else. And so, you know, they've just made it to the New Testament as part of that study, and we didn't start it at the beginning of last year, so it started in the middle, so we're kind of doing a little off track. But, you know, basically his point was, you know, the Bible is real,
mm-hmm.
and the things in the Bible are real, and these promises are real, and these hopes and these things are real, and he shared a video that, you know, was like, you know, do we believe it's the Word of God because of this? No, we don't. But it's worth considering. Do we believe it's the Word of God because of this? No, we don't. But it's worth considering. Do we believe it's the Word of God because over 300 specific prophecies have been fulfilled?
All right.
And are still being fulfilled in front of our eyes?
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's getting really close, right? Brad Stein, the comedian, was the video that he played from that, and which we have an opportunity to get Brad Stein to come at some point. Yeah, I've been talking with him off and on for a few days. So something I'll talk to you about later. But anyway, it was so weird. Luke used that video in his message Sunday, mm-hmm. and then he sends me a message. Because I got connected to him in Promise Keepers when we were in Promise Keepers. And so he messages me literally like 3 days later. And I'm like, that is so crazy. But anyway.
Brad sent you a message?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And so anyway, he, you know, it was just talking about why the Bible matters and how it's been proven and how it's a living word.
Right.
You know, just from the fact that there are prophecies being fulfilled in front of us, it's living. Right. But there's also that living aspect of how, you know, our biblical knowledge and our biblical lifestyle, you know, lives in us and creates examples to others that they can live in. So he did a great job. And that's a super quick summary, and I didn't hit all of his main points, but I was proud of him. He did good.
Well, you know, I can't wait to – I would love to hear that message because I was really looking forward to it. But like you say, it was where you couldn't hear it. And but – so here's the thing. So we have the ability, Pastor Jay, really quick here, that we can take questions. Or we can take phone calls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can take phone calls too. And so if somebody has a question, they can
it's really on the spot stuff here.
They can text us they could probably go to your.
Adelie's here on mine.
Adelie, are you on your Facebook?
I'm on the YouTube chat.
Okay. So you could go to the YouTube chat for the Pulse Winfield, or you can also, we're going to continue to talk, but,
talk. Never.
Not. Yeah. I mean, we may involve people in this conversation. And then, or you can go to my Facebook page if you have a comment or you have a question that you would like to fire at Pastor Jay or myself. Or if you have a prayer request or if you want prayer, you could actually call 304-364-4164. 304-364-4164. And that'll ring straight into the studio. And if you want to be on the air this morning, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
That is cool.
I would love to do this like on a Friday night with you and me.
We could do that.
I think it would be really cool.
Evenings are so much better than me than mornings. Well, not right now, well, because we've been picking up Isaac and walking up and down our driveway. We've been walking up our driveway now for like over 3 weeks.
Have you really?
It's ice covered, man. It's
still?
Still. We walked out it this morning, and even the rain on top of the ice, man, we were slipping and sliding.
Oh, gosh.
Sam had the umbrella, and we were trying to share the umbrella, and you know, it got to the point that she was walking on the middle where the snow still is, and it's not so icy.
Right.
So to where she didn't fall, but that was putting me right on the ice, and I was just...
Oh, gosh.
I looked like, you know, Humpty Dumpty about ready to fall. And that's so finally
crazy.
I was just like, okay, I'm just going to get wet. You keep the umbrella. Take your time. I'm going to the truck. So, yeah, but we've been doing that for over 3 weeks now since the big snow came. Because that driveway doesn't get a lot of sunlight. And, you know, so you drive down it once or twice, you've mushed it, you know, you've pushed it down, and then we're, you know, we're just making ice at that point, so.
And it's been really slick in a lot of those areas.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Especially where you're at. If you have a comment or you have a prayer request, 304-364-4164, Christy goes to bed like at 10:30. I mean, she's like clockwork, 10:30, she's in bed. And what normally happens with me is I fall asleep on the couch, and then I wake up, and then I'm good for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of like me. And so if we did something like this, I could, you know, it would be, I know you don't stay up as late.
We could be all night. I'm a night owl by practice, but out there on the quiet ridge. Oh, we actually got our place named.
You did.
This is cool. Sam, I have had multiple dove experiences, and I know you're aware of those.
Well, yes.
You know, where God has sent a dove at really, maybe we'll talk about that for a minute. Okay, so okay. I was, do you have any questions or comments? Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute.
All right.
So I had been pastoring Let Creek Community Church for right at 8 years, I believe. And I felt led to leave. And, you know, we really wanted to get our kids connected and you know, let them start living out their calling and God to start working in their life. And and so we'd been praying about that. And God, you know, allowed us to leave. And we'd prayed about it the year before. And he was like, nope, you stay another year. And so I did. And so we really began praying about this. And so we ended up at a church for a number of years. And that was Scott Depro Christ Fellowship, Pastor Rod Taylor, who listens sometimes. Good morning, Pastor Rod, if you're listening. But and just loved it. We had a great experience. I wasn't pastoring. I didn't have position or title, but I was busy. You know, I was teaching what they called Christian development classes, which was what we used to call Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
I was active in the kids program and in the youth program, helping and speaking and different things. So I was very busy, but, you know, I didn't have a position or title, which was fine with me. You know me, I've never cared about titles or anything like that. And I was very comfortable there. And I had begun teaching at you know, the Christian school that was associated with all of that. But in that transition, I had been pastoring for like 20 straight years at that point. Well, no, that's wrong. About 16, I'm horrible at time frames, 16, 17 straight years at that point.
Long time,
and
yeah.
So long time. So for many years, I had been responsible for preaching the Sunday morning message, the Sunday evening message, most of the time teaching or leading the Wednesday night service, not always, and sometimes even teaching the Sunday school class. So for a long period of time, I had all of these things I had to do.
Right.
And, you know, and you know, you buckle in, God supplies the sustenance and the means, and you make all of these things happen. I was bivocational in all of those times as well. So I was still working 50 plus hours a week and all of that. So I was very used to the routine. I was very used to the studying and the preparation point and all of that. And I was doing it. Well, when I left Let Creek Community Church, I, for the first time in my life. And the way they orchestrated that was I would preach my last message on Sunday morning, and then we had a dinner, and then the new pastor came in and preached his first message that Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of how we orchestrated the transition, and which worked well and everything. So after the dinner, we leave, we go home, and we had started cleaning our garages out because we moved in a flurry, and we essentially, with my mom's passing and everything else, moved three houses into one really, really fast. Not going into that story, but anyway, garages were a mess, so we started cleaning them out. Supposed to be a beautiful weekend. We leave everything out on the driveway. Overnight, Saturday night, you know, felt safe in our neighborhood and did that and so forth. So Sunday after the dinner, we come home, we change clothes. I'm outside and we're working and the stuff that was on the driveway, going through it, pitching it, doing whatever needed. John, all of a sudden I hear something and this solid white dove flies over our neighbor's house. I don't know what I heard. It wasn't like a screech. It was almost like someone said, "Hey," which maybe God did. Maybe it was the dove. I don't know. Right. But it was almost like someone got my attention. And so I look up in that direction, and here comes this solid white dove. And it flies to right here.
Really?
Right here.
Right there on you.
And it's just standing there, looking me eyeball to eyeball, flapping its wings. And I remember, I'll never forget what you said when I told you this story. And everything, because I think you were like my second phone. I think I called Ray and then I called you and everything else after it happened. And you were like, and you said, you know, Ray was just like, "Wow." And that was pretty much all he said. You were like, "Jay, if you'd have held your hand out, that dove would have landed on you." And I was like, I was like the guard outside of the tomb, man. I was frozen. I was just frozen stiff. This solid white dove flying,
right,
just looking at me.
Right,
I was on that driveway and John, I was really questioning things. I was like, man, did I do the right thing? I mean, I've got no message to preach tonight. I've got no Wednesday night service to plan for. I've got no messages for next week to plan and outline and study. And usually I was well ahead on those things, but still.
Right.
It's like I went from all of these things to do to none of these things to do in just a flash.
It's like a president at Inauguration Day. He's nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm standing there and I'm not saying anything. I'm not vocalizing any of this, but I'm just kind of talking to the Lord in my heart and having this moment of, man, is this right? All of these years, I've done all of this. And you know, I feel confident that this was your leading, but, you know, what's next? I mean, I always figured I would pastor again and everything else, but I'm in this moment of, oh crap! What do I do?
Right,
you know, and this stuff comes. This stuff comes, and it, you know, it literally eyeball to eyeball with me right here, and so forth, and after what seemed like an eternity, but it was probably 10 seconds, and everything else, it flies away, it circles both of our vehicles, comes back, circles the house, and then flies back past both of us, almost like kind of giving us a side eye. Like as it flies by, like looking at us, like, "I see you, got you." And to me, that was just God saying, "Is nothing's changed. My presence is still fully with you.
Wow.
And I'm still going to do great things with you, you know, for the purpose of my kingdom, not for me, but for the purpose of my kingdom. Because I don't want to get pulled into American religion where we're, you know, it's all about me, because it's not. It's all about God." So when I say those things, that's what I'm talking about. God saying, "I'm still going to do kingdom things with you. And so forth." And then it just flies off.
Wow.
You know? So it was really funny. The spiritual people that I talk to and share this story with are all like, "Oh, God's saying this, God's doing this." You know, you respond and say, you know, "If you'd have held out your hand, that dove would have landed on you." And you know, even those that didn't have anything to say, they were all like, "Wow." You know, the less spiritual and the more, you know, I don't know, which carnal, we'll say it carnal, right? People, those that just aren't in tune to spiritual things and everything else, they started to excuse it. Well, now you know the cemetery lets off doves sometimes when people think that's probably where that was from. I don't care.
Right.
That cemetery's 7 miles away.
Right. This was for you.
Even if it was the cemetery dove,
right.
God sent it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we try to excuse the things of God by common sense, and sometimes there's just no common sense to it.
Right.
And that was my second dove encounter. I'd had one earlier, just me, you know, before we had come together and got married. That was at the beginning of my calling and pastoring. There was that one, and then Sam and I went on vacation. And it was probably about 6 months after that encounter. And we had another significant dove encounter and everything at a time where, you know, we're really seeking God. And this time it was two doves.
Wow.
You know, for both me and Sam and everything else. And then we had times and moments when our kids were dealing with things. Luke had a mentor, someone that he really valued, really hurt him in a big way. And so he was really struggling, you know, with this idea of, and I remember his words to this day. He said, you know, there are a lot of people who walk around saying, God told me this and God told me that, just as a way to get their own way of doing things.
Manipulation, yeah.
You know, they're manipulating God. And, you know, I tell him, well, son, yeah, there are a lot of those people. And unfortunately, they're going to stand a huge judgment.
Yeah.
You know, because they're putting words in God's mouth. And you know, the book of Revelations makes it really clear what happens to those people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but let's pray that they repent. Let's pray that they find truth. And find peace in themselves and in those things and allow God to justify them rather than them trying to justify themselves, you know, by blaspheming God.
Right.
And, you know, so forth. But in both times, and Isaac had another struggle somewhat similar and everything else. Both times, you know, we're like really praying for our kids and everything else. And so, like, we were fasting and dove feathers, I almost said leaves, dove feathers just show up on the dashboard of our cars.
Really?
Windows up.
Windows feathers up,
sat in the car overnight or while we were at work during the day. And we come out and we're like, "Where did this? Did you get this? I didn't get that. Did you get that? No.
Wow.
Where did this come from?
Wow. That's unreal.
And so again, just that's you so can cool. say we're kooky, fine, I've been called worse. But just out of nowhere, you know, God gave us a measure of reassurance in all of those things and showed himself in those things. So,
go ahead.
Ever since we moved in up on the ridge, we've always had this idea of naming it. And so I talked to some friends of mine who were, you know, in the Putnam County political stage and everything and said, how do I need to do this? And so they put me in contact with the right people. And so I just called and said, hey, we have this idea, right? We just have a really long driveway and we kind of want to name it as like our own place. And can we do that? And she's like, absolutely. What do you want to call it? I said, well, we'd like to call it Dove Ridge.
Really? Yes. That's so cool.
And she's like, okay. She goes, I'm getting you up on the map. And she's like, let me just make sure there's no conflicts and everything else. And she's like, okay, we're going to do it. And so we have our home, right? And then Isaac's working on putting a home up there. And Luke and Courtney have designs on where they want to put their home later on up there. And so we've already named the property and put, you know, put addresses to each of those properties in the system for when their homes That's get there. So cool. And they'll be putting a street sign up there soon, and we're going to be able to get a nice big thing to put on our gate that says Dove Ridge. And it's just a way of us – it's just a memorial or an altar. You know, in the Old Testament, they were altars. And to me, it's just kind of an altar saying, we have all of this because God.
I love it.
And God has worked in our lives – in this way. So it's a means for us going in and out our gate every day to say, this is what God has done.
That is so
and
cool.
So we're just thankful for that.
Christy, are you there? Hey, Christy.
Yes.
You there?
Good Hey, good morning. Hold on a minute. Let me.
Is this your wife, Christy? Or
this is Christy Booth from.
Oh, hey,
Winfield.
Christy Booth, my doctor.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Charleston. Yes, I can hear you.
All right, hold on a minute. Let me try it now.
Hello.
Hey, there we go.
There she is.
Yeah, you are on the air. She put a comment on my Facebook page.
Okay.
She said that it is when God winks. And with a dove. To explain that to us.
I've never heard this.
I have not either.
God winks. Obviously, that's God. Yeah, God was speaking to him through. I mean, God can work through any person. He can work through any animal. So he gives you signs like that. It's just a God wink. It's a special time. I've had several of those. And it's just, it really touches your heart when the Lord speaks directly to you and you have a tangible object, a tangible thing to say, wow, God, you really did hear me. So, yeah. I mean, he gives me those a lot because I need them. I guess I'm a weak, I'm a weak person. So for me to, you know, see something that I know God sent, it just really is very powerful.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. I wouldn't call that weak. I think we're all called to seek, you know, and so, you know, to me, we should always be seeking.
Yes.
And, so I don't call it weak, Christy. I think it's, you know, I think it's purposeful for us to seek and ask and, you know, let God move, because otherwise we make up our own mind and then ask God to bless it. And that's, you know, that's always a fearful place.
Hey, Christy, can you give an example, with not going into huge detail in personal matters, but can you give an example of when a dove appeared to you?
Well, I'll give you one example. It almost makes me tear up just talking about this. So,
I feel it.
My kid's dad had melanoma, and we found out the week before going on a cruise. So on the cruise, and of course, you know, we were in our 40s, and we were all very concerned. So when I was on the cruise, you know, my heart was, you know, just very concerned, thinking, you know, when you're given, you have a X percent of like a 5-year survival rate and you're in your 40s, it's concerning. The percentage was very high. Still, I reached out to God when we were on the cruise and I was just praying. And I said, hey, God, please give me a sign to know that he's going to be okay. So I asked God to show me something in the water, in the ocean. And literally, I jokingly tell people, you know, it could have been a mermaid, which obviously there are no mermaids, but you know, I was just joking. You know, Lord, just show me something in the water. And during my prayer, I had asked for a whale because that was the biggest thing I could think of. But literally, God could have put anything in the water, just something to show me that he was going to be okay. So I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I didn't get any sign. But later that day, I actually had forgotten my prayer, and we were at the back of the boat. And I had my son was 2 at the time. And this man at the edge of the boat started saying, everybody, come over here. Come over here and look.
Wow.
And he was pointing way, way out in the water. And he said, there's a well.
Wow.
And he said, look, you can see the spray. And so I wasn't thinking. People were running over to the side. I picked up my 2-year-old son, and I'm pointing way out in the water to try to show my son. He, of course, couldn't see it. But the man said, you see the spray. That's how you know it's a well. So we're looking out at the ocean, and this elderly gentleman is the one who saw the well. He was standing right beside of me, and a couple minutes into this, he said, of all of these cruises I've been on, I have never seen a well. Mm-hmm. And that was the moment I realized that was my well.
That's
and
awesome.
I mean, I had church right there on the back of the boat, like literally. And
sure.
After that, people said, yeah, you don't see wells in the Caribbean. I said, well, I did. So that's a God wink. Like I said,
absolutely.
You know, I needed that in that moment. And back to saying I'm weak. But I mean, God, I needed that in that moment. And I just needed that special touch from God. And other people may not understand. As you said, Pastor Jay, other people may blow that off.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I know that God spoke directly
Amen.
To me.
Amen.
That could not be orchestrated.
Yep.
So that's just one of my quote unquote God winks.
Awesome.
That's pretty awesome. What do you feel like right now, Christy, that God is speaking to people about in this world? Is it like a reset? Or, I mean, what do you feel like that if you had a moment, which you do online right now, what would you say to people that you feel like God is wanting you to say to let people know and help encourage them?
Oh, boy. Well, right now is a very tumultuous time. So that's kind of, there's some division. So I feel like people on one side are feeling relief and people on the other side are feeling concern and fear. So the first thing that came to my mind is basically, calm down is what I would say. Calm down. Everyone, I would hope that they could rest in the Lord and just take a moment and breathe. And allow the Lord to work, because there are a lot of changes right now, and it's very concerning to some. It's very relieving to others. So if people could sort of just rest in the Lord, I feel like things will work out in the Lord's timing and in His hand. Especially Christians. I mean, people of the world aren't going to do that, but Christians, our brothers and sisters, need to take a step back and trust God.
Yeah.
Trust Him in all things, and he will work it out, even though it seems like maybe you don't see that working out. He will. He will take charge of it, and He'll work it out. But He expects obedience from us, and He expects us to trust Him.
Yeah. It's great. It's great advice. I had a similar conversation with someone earlier this week, and they were quite frantic about things, and we're in that how can God let this happen kind of moment. And I said, whoa. I said, you need to understand that God does allow things, but we are all our own responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that are happening because of man, not happening because of God at all. He's letting us reap what has been sown, good or bad, for hundreds of years, even. And I said, let us always realize that His kingdom is His first and only priority. Mm-hmm. And and all of this will burn one day, and so we need to be focused on the kingdom, exactly what Christy just said, and the peace and the hope that comes, with that kingdom through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a comment was made and said that, not everyone has the same religious views. And I said, that's the difference between religion and Bible.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely
right. Because religion we have made to meet our needs and have made out to make us comfortable. And it's why we have so many denominations today, is because, we couldn't see eye to eye. And instead of being brothers, We created division, as Christy started with.
Absolutely.
And, the kingdom is not divided.
No.
The kingdom isn't going to be partitioned in any way. And, so I'm excited to pursue the kingdom, because Christy's right. The hope and the peace and the joy that is ours is found in Jesus only. And if we try to find it anywhere else, we're not going to.
Dr. Christy Booth, thank you for being on the
podcast,
Christy. Today.
Love you.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, there's people watching today. JB's watching today.
What's up, Jeeps?
JB's watching today. And
Holden calls him Jeeps.
Jeeps?
Jeeps.
Tim Casto. I know Tim Casto.
What's up, Tim?
Good to have you on. Yeah. And if you have a question, you have a comment, something you want to share on the show today, 304-364-4164. I've got it on the screen, Pastor Jay.
People just tuning in are probably going, what in the world are they doing? They never do this. But I didn't preach last week, so John didn't have a bunch of questions to ask me. So
we're
just winging it and opening it up to everybody.
It's kind of neat, really.
It is. I like it.
It's like we got more people watching today than I've seen, and I'm going to put this phone number right there on mine. I've already got it on yours. And so it's 364-4164. If you have a comment of something that's going on in the world, something you want to talk about, not only that, if you have a comment, you can put it in the comment section on my Facebook page or Pastor Jay's Facebook page.
I'm on YouTube. I'm not.
Oh, you, that's right.
I'm
on
the YouTube, the Pulse Winfield YouTube feed.
And Andy, which is Christy's husband, he said, be still and know. And he also said that.
Adelie just said, be still with praise hands on mine.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty awesome. No doubt about it. Wonder what she's doing. We should call her.
She's probably working. So
she's probably working.
She'll call if she's able.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. If you want to call in, 304-364-4164. It almost seems like, Pastor Jay, that the theme, because I'm all about themes, God's wink.
I like that. Yeah, I've never heard it referred to as that before.
No, me either.
I like it, yeah.
I've never heard that before, too. You know, you've done funerals, I've done funerals, and they do that. You know, they let that dove go. Mm-hmm. You know, we did
that when my mom passed. So,
you know, there was one time I heard this. I wasn't at this funeral, but this guy was a scoundrel that died, and they released a dove. And when they released the dove, it flew, you know how they fly the pattern and, right. You know, fly back over the cemetery. And this hawk flew down and grabbed the dove.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, this guy was like, that gave me chills just now when I was saying that.
Wow.
Can you imagine? That just kind of tells you where that guy went.
Yeah.
You know, no doubt about it. That's pretty crazy. 304-364-4164. If you have a comment, please call in.
Heard a similar thing, not with doves, but you know the heaven play that churches used to do like all the time? And I can't remember it. I was part of it, I don't know how many times, but I can't remember how it goes. But ultimately, it ends with people getting called into heaven.
Right.
And so there's people planned to be called into heaven, but then there's other people who aren't planned to be called into heaven that are expected to be there that night and go in. Well, there was this man that told the church, if you call my name in your heaven program and I get to walk up front with everyone, he said, I'll pay off the church's debt.
Really?
Well, this guy was a scoundrel.
Right.
Like you're describing. And the church said, okay, we'll do that. And I'm not giving the church a hard time. You know, maybe it wasn't about the money to them. I don't know what made their decision, right? So I'm not gonna stand here and judge them.
Right.
But maybe their feeling was, you know what, maybe this is an open door. You know, mm-hmm. we give him this opportunity, maybe he'll get saved during the play, or you know, maybe he'll be drawn to come to church or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they called that man into heaven in that play. Mm-hmm. He got up on the platform, dropped dead of a heart attack right there.
No.
I'm in the audience.
You saw this.
I saw this. I'm in the audience, and I'm just like, I didn't know the story, though. I'm just in the audience,
wow.
And it happens. Everyone reacts. We start praying, everything else like that. When the service was over, a friend of mine who attends church there came to me and said, I told them they should not do that.
Right.
And that's what happened, so... Crazy things happen in moments like that.
Yeah, if a person wants to stand in the way of what God is doing, they'll pay for it.
Yeah.
You and I've seen that time after time, you know, how people are sometimes.
Yep.
And let carnality get in the way. And that goes back to a lot of, you know, one of my mentors, James Ashworth, started with me over 30 years ago about dying out to self.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been on it for a number of years, too.
It is the starting point.
Yeah.
For spiritual growth.
Yeah. And, I mean, and it's a never ending process.
It is never ending.
I mean, it's something, if you're going to die out to self and give up the self life, I mean, it is going to cost you your life. But it's a good life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but
it's a better life.
Yes.
The problem is we're just too dumb to figure that out.
Yes.
A lot of times. You know, I've always thought about that moment and what the lady said. And again, not judging the leadership or anyone else. Wow, look at all that. but
maybe on to something.
You know, maybe it was God's way of telling the people in the congregation that day, look, you can't live like this guy.
Right.
And walk into heaven, which we all know is true. But maybe, you know, maybe God used that moment for something bigger. You know, that we don't realize. But yeah, I mean, he moves in mysterious ways. So go ahead with
no. Absolutely.
Anybody have a question or a comment?
Yeah, if you
talking to fill in time.
No, if you have a question or a comment, you want to call
in
today.
Oh, wait, Lisa just texted me.
Lisa? 304-364-4164.
Oh, she's just telling me I need to make a doctor appointment. So never mind.
Who is this?
Lisa. She works for Christy.
Oh, and, that's hysterical.
And I got my annual blood work done. that isn't so annual with me because I haven't really been to a doctor in years. And so anyway, they did my blood work and she was telling me I needed to make an appointment. I thought she was.
So you can come in and talk about it.
I thought she was sending something for the show. So go ahead.
My doctor told me, because I'm like you, I very seldom ever go. If I go, it's because something's wrong, you know.
Yeah.
And so I go in and he looks at me and he gets real close to me and he says, "You're the most defiant patient that I have. You won't get a colonoscopy. You won't, you know." And he just sits there and he says, "Now don't get your feelings hurt." And I look at him. I said, 35 years of ministry. I said, "You think you're hurting my feelings?"
Yeah.
I said, "Okay." I said,
I told Christy,
"I'll be nicer."
When, because I had like this crazy eye infection.
Oh, I remember that.
And like all my eyes swelled up. I mean, it looked like I'd been beat up in a boxing ring or something. But, I got pulled in, sorry, John was showing me the comments, and I'm like, you know, ADD, ADHD, everything squirrel, you know, very much that guy, but what was I saying? Oh, anyway, the eye infection led me to Christy because I sent her a picture, and I was just like, I'm on the way to the ER or something, and she's like, "Don't go to the ER, come to me," and so forth. And I'm like, you know, I've really been thinking about coming to you as my doctor,
right,
and everything else. But, you know, if one of those moments where I have to pull my pants down ever come up, I cannot pastor you ever again. And because I just couldn't stand up there and do that. And we laughed about it. And she's like, I would refer you to a urologist before anything like that happens.
Oh, that's so funny.
So anyway, she got my blood work done and that's how that all came about. So. What?
I know. I mean, I couldn't
even
either.
Completely professional.
And you're a Marine.
But
so
even that, you know, I don't.
You're used to prating around in your skivvies.
Well, but
when
what
you're
I do at home and what I do in public are two completely different
that's
things.
That's the truth.
But
that is hysterical.
But yeah, I mean, I couldn't stand up in front of someone that. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. That's
moving on. Someone send us a call before this keeps going.
That's funny. If you have a comment or you want to be on the air today, 304-364-4164.
As you can see, we're just us. We don't put on airs or pretend to be.
Tom Dodd's watching today.
Else. Tom Dodd.
Glad to have you.
Goes back a while. Yeah, good to
you
hear
know Tom.
From you. Yeah, I know
Do
Tom.
You?
Yeah.
See,
we used to serve in the youth board for the Gospel Tabernacle Association together.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, Lewis Dodd. I think that's his. It's his uncle. I think Lewis Dodd married Christy and me.
Okay.
Still friends with Greg and Andy down in Charlotte. Talked to them the other day, recently, and so yeah, Tom Dodd and we have Alicia Cole. She's watching today, and glad to have you tuned in. Christy gave some laughs there on hers. that's so funny.
Yeah.
If you do have a comment, somebody wants to. Amy's watching too. Glad to have you tuned in.
Amy Mann.
Yeah, Amy Mann.
Ames. I call her Ames.
Ames. And so we have some comments, but you can either comment or call in 304-364-4164.
10 minutes.
Yeah, we have 10 minutes left.
I got to go to work.
You got it kind of gets in the way of.
I could sit and do this all day if I didn't have to go to work.
Well, this is we may be onto something here, you know, because if we put this late at night, you know how many people late at night. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, if you're tired, go to bed. Because the enemy will mess with you when you're tired.
Sure.
And so you have to be real careful. But can you imagine the opportunity to talk to people and to share with people on a late night talk show?
Yeah.
You know, and have people call in and all this. Bob's watching.
Pridley?
Yep. Hey, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
He said, hey, guys.
Bob put in our new the new arms on our door yesterday. So we have doors that actually open and shut now that won't accidentally lock somebody out.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing.
Getting locked out is not a good thing, especially from a church.
Right.
no doubt about it. Yeah, Bob, he's always a West Side boy.
Yeah.
His
brother Gary still lives on the West Side.
I think that where they lived was over the hill from where I grew up, and I used to pass a newspaper down there to that whole whole neighborhood there.
Nice.
And so I know exactly where... You know where they are, and but yeah, West Side is best side is the West Side. You know, Christy
best
always
side's the West Side.
Christy, my wife, always said, and you know, at Capitol High School, they always said the wall would fall, being Stonewall. But the thing about it was because that was always the you know,
the rivalry.
And so Stonewall is still there, but it's not Stonewall anymore. But the building's still there. And you can drive by where Charleston High was, and there's nothing there. Mm. So what the wall?
I think it's a hospital parking lot now.
Yeah, the wall didn't fall, but Capitol High did, or Charleston High.
You just had to get that.
Just had to dig it
well, right in.
We're West Side guys here, you know. I mean, we just gotta, throw it in there, you know. Absolutely, for sure. So what? You're starting a new series that's coming up this week.
Yes.
And you're still praying about what that is. So can you give us a little tease on what? Which way this may go?
Well,
oh yeah, Garvin Avenue. Yeah, that's where he just commented there. Garvin Avenue.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Garvin Avenue. Let's see, who used to live on Garvin? Let's see, Kathy Corbett lived on Garvin, and Naomi Flowers lived on Garvin. And it, you got to be careful over on Garvin, because Garvin is steep. Mm. And in the snow, I've gone down that hill in the pouring snow.
Oh, that sounds
like,
awesome.
Ah, you got to hold on to yourself. It's like, you know, it's crazy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We took Holden out after the snow, and we were able to get the kids up there. We took him out on that big hill at the bottom our property at the end of the ridge.
Right.
And everything, and put him in a little thing and let him go down. He cracks me up. I guess from the parade, he remembered us hollering Merry Christmas to everyone and throwing candy.
Right.
So he picked up all of these sticks, and he goes sliding down through there, and it's zooming down that hill, and he's throwing sticks out, going, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas,
really?
Everyone. So, yeah, that was
– Is there good sleigh riding at your house?
Oh, my gosh. If you can get to it, it's great sleigh riding.
Because Lindsay was –
Getting to us safely is the hard part.
Lindsay was saying something the other day. She said, we need a place to take the kids to sleigh ride.
But it's also treacherous.
Oh, I figured.
Because, like, I didn't do anything this year. But the year before when we did it, we had tubes. And literally, you'll just go zooming right into the woods and bounce into trees and everything else like that.
Really?
Because it gets going so fast, yeah.
Oh, that sounds fun.
But, yeah, a lot of good times up there.
You know, somebody told me that when they were a kid – that, you know, because snow boots aren't like they are today, you know, because you put a pair of snow boots on when you were a kid and you'd be wet in no time through your feet and socks, you know.
Right.
But they said that they used to take a wrapper that bread came in and put their shoe.
Is hilarious.
Put their foot in
when
it.
When we took Holden out that day, Courtney did that.
Really?
To Holden.
All right.
And I was picking on her and giving her a hard time about it, but I mean, I was fine with it, but I was just picking on her and so forth. But I'd never seen or heard that either.
Yeah.
And Sam was like, oh, my dad always did it and everything else. I'm like, wow. And then something else came up. Oh, Outdoor Boys. Plug for Outdoor Boys. You've never seen Outdoor Boys?
No.
That's what y'all need to watch at night. You see, we don't watch TV.
Right.
We find good Christian content on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and watch that.
Outdoor Boys.
So Outdoor Boys, phenomenal. We love it. It's about this guy and his family, and they go on all of these crazy adventures. I mean, like, he'll have planes drop them off in the middle of nowhere, Alaska.
Oh, gosh.
And they just live, you know, they have a backpack full of stuff.
Right.
But between what's in the backpack and the land, they just live off the land for 3 or 4 days.
Huh.
And then they you know, kayak back out to where the plane is, and the plane picks them up and takes
them.
Yeah,
neat.
Phenomenal show. We love it.
Huh.
They did one during COVID where they went cross country. They went from Florida to Alaska.
Right.
On it and did the thing. They've been to Japan. They do a lot of really cool stuff. It's good.
That's
good Christian
neat.
Family. So, but yeah, so that's kind of what we watch these days, because there's really not that much good
not
content
much good,
on TV.
Yeah.
But
especially no football.
What are we
right
talking
now?
About?
You were talking about...
See, squirrel. We're really in a squirrel moment.
We were talking about
here.
Plastic on your feet. And,
people are going to be like, yeah, they're so goofy. I'm not going to do the real show anymore.
That's plastic on your bread wrappers.
Yeah. I'd never heard of it either, but it was a thing for Sam and Courtney.
And somebody said that to me, and I thought, well, that's a smart idea, you know.
But, brilliant idea.
It is, for sure. But back to what we were talking about was your possible sermon topic.
Oh, I have two new series, and the Lord's led me to, and I'm just kind of waiting for Him to put His finger on which one. So, we'll see.
That's awesome. Gary's watching too.
What's up, Gary?
He just keyed on there. I guess Bob called him and said they're probably talking about the West Side.
Yeah.
You know, no doubt about it. Well, it's going to be interesting to have a new series. And, you know, it's still first of the year. New Year's resolutions that people – I heard on a commercial one day it takes 6 days for that to fall apart.
Usually, yeah.
You know, I don't make resolutions. I don't either. You know, I just try to be consistent. That's the main thing.
I make new resolutions every day.
Yeah.
You know, make me better today than I was yesterday, you know, and try to live that way and work that way. And I feel like if I'm doing that, I don't have to do some grandiose thing at the beginning of every year.
Took me a couple times after you said it to get a handle on what you meant, but I get it now, where you say that you get saved every day.
Yeah.
And I had to think through that process. Tell me about that. Where did that come from?
Well, maybe saved isn't, you know, technically the right theological word to use there, but ultimately what I'm saying is every day when I get up, I make the decision to be kingdom-minded and gospel-centered, right? And to pursue the things of God,
yeah.
Right? Any morning I can wake up and decide, you know what? I'm done with this.
Right.
I have the ability to make that decision, kind of like Adam in the garden. Mm-hmm. You know, he got up and he fellowshipped with God all of those days, all of those moments. Then Eve came. Mm-hmm. And just kidding. but Eve came, and Eve had all of those days and all of those moments. And we don't know exactly how much. We don't know how deeply intimate they were. We get the feeling from Scripture, because it's in succession, that it was immediate. It wasn't immediate. For years they communed with God in some way. But then all of a sudden one day, she decided to get up and go eat the fruit, you know, when she was tempted of it. And, you know, so essentially what I mean by that is every day I choose to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and to deny myself and to be his every day to the you know, the best of his ability in me.
Right.
Never my ability. You know, we say to the best of my ability. We bring nothing to this table, right? Yeah. It's to the best of his ability in me.
Yeah.
And sometimes that has everything to do with how much we allow in, but that's a whole other sermon. But, you know, that's kind of the point. You know, the two main things: seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, not our own, his righteousness, right? And deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. I think if we focus in, you know, that goes back to my first things first. Yeah. Messages. If we focus in on those two first things first things in our life every day, every morning, then it's a daily rebirthing and a daily renewing to say, okay, I did good here yesterday, but I didn't do well here yesterday. I'm rebirthing myself into this pursuit of God's kingdom and his righteousness to deny myself and take up my cross and follow him.
Do you think there's anything to what we call as Christians the center?
No, that's not for an excuse.
Right.
You know, I'm not giving anybody an excuse with that.
Right.
Oh, well, I can just start over tomorrow. Right. Well, no, you should have done better today.
Right.
Right. So, you know, that's not excusatory. It's actually, you know, something to guide our life by. Go ahead with your question.
To get somebody to Jesus, the Scripture says only believe. That's what Jesus said. You know, we get caught up in the sinner's prayer and those kind of things. I mean, do we really need to do that? I know we're 9 o'clock, but I mean, like, we're coming to the end of the show. You know, do we have to tell people to ask God to forgive them of their sins? I mean, I've always
done that.
I'm
not a big
that.
Fan of like a universal sinner's prayer.
Right.
Right. And if you go back to Promise Keepers, they weren't either. You know, it's why they always had the prayer booth set up in the back.
Right.
And everything else, because they were a big believer. Yes, we can encourage people to pray a prayer, but we have no way of controlling who's praying it because they're emotional versus who's praying it because they're drawn.
Yeah.
Right. And we know to be saved, you have to be drawn of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
Right. Which means it's a spiritual moment. It's not an emotional moment. It's not a carnal moment. It's not a, I have decided. I'm not a big fan of that song either. I have decided to follow Jesus, because I can't just decide to follow Jesus.
Right.
Right? My salvation is an act of God. He draws me to salvation.
Right.
Right? And you know, so we have to grab hold of that. Now I understand what the song means, and you know, I don't need all the him loving people out there to come at me with you know, knives and stuff. But you know, I understand what the intent of the song is, but right. You know, I think sometimes contextually we mess that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand that our salvation is spiritual. Right. It is a move of God
mm-hmm.
on us, and that he draws us spiritually mm-hmm. into his righteousness
right.
through the blood of Jesus Christ. And understand that. There's no way if I'm standing in front of 1,000 people, if I'm standing in front of 100 people,
yeah.
there's no way for me to know who's drawn and who isn't. But yeah. I'm telling everybody to say that prayer.
Right.
To some, they're receiving Jesus Christ.
Right.
To others, they're leaving with false assurance. And I think, you know, I think that's a real trouble spot for the American church, because, you know, we've done away with altar calls. We've done away with all of those things because we just have this universal prayer moment.
Right.
Well, some are finding Jesus in that moment. Absolutely.
Right.
Some are finding false hope. And so I think we have to be really careful in those things. You know, I know I'm a buzzkill, but I just feel like that's a problem. And I think that's why we have a lot of Christian people, a lot of quote unquote Christian people struggling today, because they're trying to manage their own salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've never come into that spiritual relationship and that spiritual manifestation that occurs when we're drawn. And I think that can be a real problem for some.
So it's basically trying to live your Christian life in the flesh instead of on the spiritual side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that happens many times. No doubt about it. Andy says his kindness leads us to repentance. And Gary also said,
amen.
Love you guys. Thanks for the love that you show me.
Love you, Gary.
No doubt about it. Well, we appreciate everyone that's been a part of the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. And if you're looking for a church, you can find them on the East Coast. You have to say that since it's all over, you know. So we're on the East Coast at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Winfield campus on Sunday. And so what's going on this week as in a way of Sunday morning, since there's no snow?
Yeah, this week will be a normal service. We'll be starting a new series once God puts his finger on which one he wants me to use. And you know, we'll share that if we're given the opportunity to. We are dedicating Griffin.
Oh, cool.
This Sunday, my second grandson.
That's
and
so, cool.
So we'll be dedicating him this Sunday. Luke and Courtney will be dedicating him. I mean, I'll, you know, we'll lead it. I'm sure Dwight will help me, but you know, we will do that, because dedication is more about the parents than it really is about anything. They're the ones making a dedication to bring that child up in the way of the Lord. So we'll be doing that, and beyond that, it's just a normal service. Our chosen youth are having a lock in tonight.
Really?
Yeah. So they'll be at the church, I think, around 6:37.
That's why you put the bars on the door.
That's why we put new keys on the door. Yep. Nope. You're too much. Shut the door lock. You're out. Yeah. So they'll be there from, I think, around 6:30 or 7 tonight until 7 in the morning. And
have you ever done those?
Yeah. I'll be there tonight.
Are you going there?
Yeah. I'm going to help security out tonight.
All night? You're not going to
I don't know that
all-nighter.
I'll be there all night. We'll just see how it goes.
I've done one all-nighter that.
It's are making sure we have security there.
Yeah,
so.
I got you. I've done one all-night lock-in before, and I swear, I'm not doing another one.
Yeah.
I can't stay up all night. I don't swear, but I just can't stay up all night like that. But even when I was young, I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Oh, we used to do them all the time at the South Charleston Rec Center.
Yeah, we used to have, remember those all-night prayer things we used to
yep.
do? Yeah, we used to do those. I miss those. Those are pretty neat.
I miss our coffee and donuts after.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody will know.
Had some good time.
Nobody will know.
Who's going to know? That's inside joke. We'll share it sometime.
We'll share it sometime. That's for sure. Thanks for being a part of the Pulse WV Live. You want to give to this ministry, three different ways that you can do that. You can text the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187. Go to thepulsechurch.com, give through PayPal. Mail your love gift to 5368 State Route 34, Winfield, West Virginia, 25213. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. Please share, like, and subscribe, and have a great day.